Today on Real Life Radio.
You're wondering if God's kingdom's near? Yes, it is. You can ask for him to come into your life now. Number two, is he not giving you warning signs? Only those who can see, though, can see the signs. Can you see the signs?
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Now, before we jump into today's message, I want to remind you that all sorts of resources for your spiritual growth are available at jackhibbs.com. Things like devotions, podcasts, interviews, previous messages, special events, all this and a lot more available at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And now, let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, Is the Kingdom of God Near? Part 1. You know, this series on the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ, as only Luke, the physician, could do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 17, we'll consider God's kingdom in light of Bible prophecy. You see, asking if the kingdom of God is near, it's kind of like stepping onto the holy ground of biblical prophecy. God's promises are prophetic promises, and that's why Bible prophecy is a comfort to us, and that's why Christians aren't fearful about the future. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that when God's kingdom comes, the world will be in conflict beyond what anyone can humanly grasp. It'll be the day when God intervenes in the affairs of those who are left on earth. Now, with his message called, Is the Kingdom of God Near? Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Jesus said to the apostles, Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when Jesus had said this, he breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Any scholars, Bible students in here, anybody loving the Word of God to study it? John 20:22 is the first born-again event recorded in the Bible. It was prophesied in the Old Testament, and its first fulfillment was in John 20:22. Where were men and women born again for the first time? John 20:22. They believed, but after Jesus rose again from the dead, the moment he breathed on them, that moment the Holy Spirit stamped them, sealed them, empowered them for eternity. 1 Corinthians 3:16. You say, Jack, why are you telling me this stuff? Because remember, I challenged this thought about God not dwelling in a building. It's a kingdom that is spiritual. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Paul said, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you? Now we're getting close to the kinds of dwellings that God lives in. They're not made with metal and concrete. 1 Peter 2:5 says that we are living stones being built up together as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up, listen, spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's a spiritual realm. Jesus is the kingdom of God. It's not going to be like, oh, there, it's over there, or here it is right here. He says it doesn't come with observation. It's near you. Will you grab it? And there may be somebody in here today that needs to grab the kingdom. You've been dancing all around it. You've been flirting with it. You've been thinking that you got close to it. You did a little drive-by. You drove by the church. Praise the Lord. You can even come into the church and say, Jack, I came in here. Okay, that's nice. You're not going to heaven because you've come to church. What? Oh, you mean to say, Pastor Jack, I'm going to go to heaven because I put $5 in the offering, right? No. You want more? No. You want to put some zeros on the end of the $5? No. You can't go to heaven that way. What do you want me to do? You want me to walk grandma across the street and get my Eagle Scout pin? Then do I go to heaven? No. You have to open your heart and let the kingdom in. Well, how do I let the kingdom in? You can't have a kingdom in you without a king. You got to have a king. It's of a personal nature. Salvation's personal. Also, thirdly, under this point, it's the kingdom in conflict. God's kingdom is not of this world. Jesus said, that the kingdom of God does not come without observation, nor will they say here or there, for indeed the kingdom of God is near you. Jesus said in John 8:23, I am not of this world. Right when every time I say that and I think of it in my mind, I want to hear the theme song to like the X-Files. Or do you remember my favorite Martian? Man, this church is getting old. If you remember my favorite Martian, we need to get some young people in here. It's all, Jesus says, I'm not of this world. You want to talk about absolute, someone who's not of this world? Jesus says, I'm not from here. Oh, I love that. I'm not from here. My kingdom is not of this world. John 18:36, Jesus answered and said to Pontius Pilate, remember when Pilate said, are you king of the Jews? Jesus answered and said, my kingdom is not of this world. Wow, mark that down. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. That means we'd establish a capital, knock Rome out and take over the world. He said, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from here. And I'm very happy about that. John 17:13, Jesus said this, but now, and he's praying, by the way, to his Father, but now I come to you, Father, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word. He's talking about his disciples. And the world has hated them because they are not of this world. How many of you are Christians? Raise your hands quickly. Look at you, you bunch of weirdos. You're not from this world. You don't belong here anymore. And can you feel it every day more and more? I mean, I was speaking up Central California yesterday, and I asked these guys, don't you feel like you're not of this world anymore? And you should have seen all these men from 16 years old to 80 years old. Yep, don't feel like I belong here anymore. I don't feel like I belong here anymore. Turn on the TV, you read stuff. What is this? Is this world not gone nuts? Don't you just want to say, you can have this place? I mean, I know I can't act like that, you know? I got to be a pastor and all that kind of stuff. Be a Christian. But it's kind of like, you want to do this? You want this? Is this what you want? You can have it and watch where it goes. But you know, I can't do that. Jesus said that we're not of this world. And I love that. It's incredible. Point number two this morning, is the kingdom of God near? That's the question. Is it near? Verses 22 to 25. It's the kingdom that's coming. Friends, listen, it's the kingdom that's coming. His kingdom is coming. We pray, thy kingdom come. His kingdom's coming. Verse 22, this way, it's a kingdom longed for. Oh, every believer in here knows that. We long for it to come. Then he said to his disciples, the days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man. Jesus is saying, the day's going to come when you wish I were here again. You're going to look over the future, in the future in your life, you're going to look back from those days that are ahead of you, you're going to look back to these times and you're going to say, man, I wish Jesus was back. He says, guess what? You're not going to see it. Verse 23, and they will say to you, there's going to be people lying to you. What's the lie that they're going to say? Hey, look over there. There's the answer. Look over here. There's the answer. He says, do not go after them or follow them. The kingdom, Jesus said, is a kingdom that's coming. Basically, he's saying, hey, Christians, there's going to come a time when this world's coming apart at the seams, and you're going to wish that I were here. And you and I can all say amen to that. By the way, do you want to know something? Do you want to know the last prayer recorded in the Bible? This is awesome, and you should mark it down. You want to be biblical? You want to love Bible prophecy? Here's the reason why. Bible prophecy announces to us the last prayer found in the Bible. It's Revelation 22:20, and this should be all of our prayers. This should be right there. Revelation 22:20. He who testifies to these things says, quote, surely I am coming quickly, close quote. Then John says, the author of the book of Revelation, amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Last prayer of the Bible. What is it? I need more money. No. Last prayer of the Bible. God, fix my retirement. Nope, ain't going to happen. Last prayer of the Bible. Come, Lord Jesus. Oh, the Bible says in Luke 21:28, now when these things begin to happen, When you look around the world and you see the world becoming unhinged, look up. Lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. The kingdom of God is near, Jesus says. Also this, it's a kingdom that will be obvious. In the second coming, church, do I have your attention? I need your undivided attention on this. This portion of scripture, Jesus is not, even next week's message, in part two, he is not talking about the rapture. He's talking about the second coming. And when the second coming happens, when Christ returns and his foot touches this earth, in the rapture, his foot does not touch this earth. And the second coming, his toe hits the Mount of Olives, the Bible says. In the Old Testament, it says that when his foot hits the Mount of Olives, there's going to be an earthquake and it's going to split open. That is awesome. I like earthquakes as long as nobody gets hurt. You know? So, Pastor, don't talk like that. Don't talk like that. Aren't we due for one? I mean, I know we just had one 4 months ago, but it was a little wimpy thing. Where's the big one? Flew over the San Andreas Fault yesterday. You can see it, you know, from the air. You can see it. You can look at it. And there's houses on it. Hello! Where do you want to build your house, honey? Right on the fault. And then that's one thing. But you know our aqueduct that we need to live, the water? Guess what our state did? Where are we going to build that thing? We got to get water from Northern California to Southern California. I got an idea. Let's not just cross over you got to cross over it to get the water. You got to cross over the San Andreas Fault. Oh, no, no, no. Let's just run it right down alongside it for miles so that when the big one hits, we ain't got no water. It's absolutely spectacular. I mean, you got to go to school to think like that. The kingdom's coming, and Jesus said it's going to be obvious. Revelation 1:7, behold, he says, look, open your eyes concerning the second coming. He's coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. By the way, in the mindset? It's not said clearly, but the intent means in the Greek, when every eye will see him. You say, well, what is that? You mean every eye when he comes back, those eyes? Yes, it means that. Of course it means that. But it hints that every eye that has ever been will see his coming somehow. Will people in hell have a flat screen, plasma screen, LCD? Here he comes. There he comes. Heaven will observe it. Will those long dead observe it? Possibly, but we know this. Every person on earth in the second coming, every person on earth will see the Lord's return, even those who pierced him. See how that, look at that verse. Don't look at me. Look at your Bible. Look at your Bible. Revelation 1:7. Behold, he is coming with clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn. That's a bad word. They will weep because of his coming. The second coming is absolutely terrifying. The rapture is glorious. The second coming is terrifying. Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, that 7-year period of time, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven. That'll freak you out. And the powers of the heavens will be shaken. The sky will vibrate. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the atmosphere. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. People will begin going, just realizing they made a big mistake. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven and with great power and great glory. Great glory. I'm sure Greg Laurie is going to be there with them. But but great glory, myself, you, and Greg Laurie. He's coming. It's going to be obvious. The rapture is something that's not obvious. The second coming is obvious. Jesus is speaking about the kingdom coming. It's coming near you now. Every time you listen to the Bible, every time you open up the Bible, God is speaking to you. Every moment of your life, God is speaking. The kingdom is near you. Have you taken it into your life? Do you have a king enthroned in your life? Then ultimately, the kingdom will come.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Also this, it's a kingdom that must be purchased. Jesus said, But first he must, mark it, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. The kingdom is coming. Yes, it is near you now, but first things first, I must die on the cross for the sins of the world. You guys, it would have been disastrous for Jesus to establish his kingdom in Jerusalem without going to the cross. Because we would have had a really great government in the earth, and then when we died, we all would have gone to hell. No government can keep you out of hell. There is no earthly kingdom that can fulfill your need. Because even if you lived in the most wonderful place on the planet, what should it profit a man, Jesus said, if you gain the whole world? Imagine. And lose your own soul. You must have a kingdom, the kingdom in you. But Pastor Jack, I'm an American, of course. All Americans are Christians. Thank God that myth now is, don't you think it's completely, totally over? People who actually even thought that in the first place were interesting people. But to think, I'm an American, of course I'm a Christian. I was born in America. Oh boy. The kingdom must be purchased. John 1:10 says this. John chapter 1 verse 10 says, he was in the world and the world was made through him and the world did not know him. He came unto his own, that's the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, but his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, to those who believe on his name. That could be you if you open up your heart to the kingdom of God. It was purchased. Third and final point. We're going to go quick. I got 3 minutes. It's the kingdom of God. Is the kingdom of God near? Listen, it's the kingdom of God we're talking about. Jesus says this, verse 26. It's a kingdom, mark it, of righteousness. Only the Christian longs for righteousness. Have you been to court lately? You know any attorneys? Are you battling something legally? God help you. I think only God can help us. Our system's broke, corrupt, it's overrated. Believe me, you are absolutely guilty until you have enough money to prove your innocence. And that's a fact. And don't think for a moment that the law is on your side because you're innocent. Because there's some people that will twist the law and have you condemned. Righteousness is coming with the kingdom of God. Verse 26, and as it was in the days of Noah. Example? No righteousness. So it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives. All common stuff, normal things. They were given in marriage. People got married until, note it, the day. You know what it means? They didn't believe. How long did it take Noah to build the boat? How long? 120 years. They're like, what is that? It's an ark. For what? A flood's coming. What a weirdo. Crazy Noah. And they bought, they sold, they got married, they planted, they did all the stuff. They did. Hey, have you seen that? Have you seen that guy down at the end of the street in his driveway? He's building this huge boat. What a funny guy. And they make fun of Noah. He preached the gospel, the Bible says, for 120 years. And they're laughing at him. And the Bible says, by the way, the Lord watered the earth from the ground up. You know it's called dew? He watered the earth. It had not rained prior to the flood. Hey, Noah, what a weirdo. Come on, everybody. It's, you know, it's maybe it was a Saturday. They had the day off. Let's go down to the end of the street and make fun of that Noah guy. They're all laughing. All these animals start walking into the boat. Well, that's kind of weird. Don't you think that's weird? Well, we're not going to miss two of every kind. Who cares about that? They all go in there. Birds are flying in there. And all of a sudden, listen, a few days before it started to rain, supernaturally, the door began to close. The door, God, the Bible says God shut the door. Can you imagine that? Hey, Fred, did you see that? Anyway, they went about buying and selling, living, doing Laker games, going to the duck thing, you know, going to all the stuff they did, farming. And then clouds began to form. The door's already closed. What are those clouds? It's starting to rain. What is that? What's rain? It starts to pour. And they were swept away. Can you imagine people clawing on the ark trying to get into that door when the floods began to come? He said, Jack, I don't like this message. I didn't write the book. God says there's going to come a day. Jesus is speaking about it right here, right now. You know what? There's going to be a day when the game is over. Because his kingdom is a righteous kingdom. In Genesis 6, verse 5, the Bible says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of his thoughts and of his heart was evil continually." Translation, Jerry Springer program. Translation, soap operas. Translation, basically radio, TV, people everywhere, unbelievably sickening, dirty all the time, filthy. God said, you know what, I've had enough. Their hearts and their minds think nasty all the time. Genesis 6:11 goes on to say, "And the earth was also corrupt before God." And the video, look at the video. This is just last week in Los Angeles. "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was so corrupt that all flesh had corrupted their way." Any scientists, researchers, go look what that means. Flesh had become corrupt, polluted within itself. And God said to Noah, "The end of all things is near, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy the earth." When Jesus Christ returns, my friend, it's going to be a radical time. Jesus warns about it. He said it's going to be a violent time. Anarchy is rising in the world. Law enforcement is documenting the rise of anarchy in the world. Acts 17:31 says that God will come back. Jesus is coming back to judge the world in righteousness. It's the kingdom of God. It's a kingdom of holiness, my friend. You can't be a Christian and live an unholy life. You can't raise your arms in here on Sunday morning and praise the Lord and then draw your line of cocaine and live on external things for your peace and comfort the rest of the week. You're unholy. You're playing a game. It's not real. You can't do that. You can't be, the Bible says, you are holy because I am holy, God says, so be holy. And you can't be a Christian pornographer. You can't be a Christian pedophile. You can't be a Christian bank robber. He's coming back, and he's coming back in holiness. Likewise, look at verse 28. "Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot." In the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold. What do they say? They did what they always did. Look at verse 29. "But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom," as soon as you hear the word Sodom, what do you think about? I know. Today, this guy says, today. Yeah. "And it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." Take note, they were indifferent. In fact, it's interesting, it doesn't even mention why God brought the judgment upon them in Genesis there in Scripture. But the Bible says in Genesis chapter 19 that when Abraham's nephew Lot was living in the city of Sodom, that the homosexual violence was so bad, God says, "That's it, I'm going to judge it." In Genesis 19:5, the Bible says, "And the men of that city of Sodom, they came to Lot and they said to him, 'Where are the men that came into your house that night? Bring them out, we want to rape them.'" We cannot say that God is not going to warn us about the days and the age in which we live in. Jesus said, "I'm going to come back. One of the warnings, it's going to be like it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah." And that's amazing to me. And we end with this. Jesus, his kingdom, it's a kingdom of light. In 1 John 1:5, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness, no, none at all."
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called "Is the Kingdom of God Near? Part 1. Thanks for being with us today, and you know this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey, you guys, Pastor Jack here, and I want to encourage you because I know I'm like you. You're like me. Are you weary? Do you get wearied? Do you get tired? Does it feel at times that the wind has been knocked out of you? I think if we're all honest, we can admit that, man, yeah, being a Christian is not easy in this world. But I want to give you some encouragement by virtue of the fact that Dr. Warren Wiersbe, a great author, a great pastor who's now in heaven, wrote a book called In Praise of Plodders. In Praise of Plodders. A plodder is somebody who just keeps going. And if you feel so worn down, maybe even apathetic, then you need this book. He will walk you through those seasons. Things just don't seem to be coming together. In Praise of Plodders, this current featured book, please get a copy of it today.
In Praise of Plodders by Warren Wiersbe. You can pick it up for a gift to the ministry of any amount by going to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.